You're listening to Charlotte Community Talk with your host, Scott Pridemore and Mike Hagee.
With Mike Hagee, I'm Scott Pridemore. For this episode of Charlotte Community Talk podcast, today we welcome Esther and Elsa, Jordan Dollard. Welcome, yes. Jordan.
Hey, how are you?
We're doing great. Yeah, we're doing well. Thank you for joining us for this podcast via Zoom.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. This new way of connecting with people. In this case, a business owner, an entrepreneur who is managing through this COVID event and still remaining in business and working hard, but differently. Mm-hmm. If you don't mind, tell us a little bit about how you let's start pre-COVID and just tell us a little bit about your retail shop and organization and how you procure business as a shop owner.
Okay. We're actually about to hit 5 years in business. I think that it's April, if I'm not mistaken. To be honest, everything is really a blur right now, which I'm sure it is for you guys as well. But we started out as a women's clothing store. We started out as a pop-up and moved into brick and mortar retail. And in somewhere in there, we ended up planning this market in town called Front Porch Sundays. And Front Porch, it started out really small, 50 people would walk through with 10 vendors. And it was this open air market, and we grew the shop, in parallel to Front Porch Sundays. And we came to this point about 2 years ago where we had to make the decision if, I had to choose one, either put all my time and energy and, to be honest, money into a retail space. Retail is very expensive. Put all my time and energy into these markets. We had been asked to do some other projects, to join some other teams, and it just wasn't feasible to do both. So ended up closing the shop, and that was pretty much 2 years ago. We pivoted then 2 years ago from, we were Elsa Fine, and now we're Esther and Elsa. So named after my grandmother's. Nice. And we pivoted then, and we now run open air markets, pop-up shops. What we are at our core is a retail, an experiential retail firm. We plan these events. We're the happy mix of retail knowledge and of event planning execution. We've been, growing steadily over the past 2 years, to be honest, a lot more than when I had my shop. And then COVID happened.
Right. And I'd like to sort of, and we'll get into, of course, the how you are managing to pivot. But I will say this, considering you've weathered some storms, I'd say that you're set up better than many business owners. It does sound like your story includes some pivots pre-COVID. So let's go back, if you don't mind. You came out of App State mm-hmm. and with a degree of fashion design and merchandise, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And then I know you mentioned sort of how you started. And I love the fact that you named your business after your grandmother's. That's fantastic. tell us a little bit more. What do you sell? What do you sell in retail?
Yeah. So we really don't sell, before about 3 weeks ago, we weren't selling product. We were really just consulting. We were hired by nonprofits, organizations, companies to plan retail experiences, markets, pop-up shops, or run their retail programs. And so, I mean, I guess in a sense we sold for other people, but we never really, we've not been a shop. We've not been a retailer for a few years now.
Okay. So what are you doing currently to remain in business?
We realized, and I say we have a small team, that is kind of on a little bit on pause right now. There's still a few of us working. We realized about a month and a half ago what was happening, and what was going to happen to the event industry. And it all kind of started when South by Southwest was canceled. When we saw that, it hit pretty hard. So I took a week or so to freak out and worry and be upset. And then I kind of, you know, as an entrepreneur, you have to either you figure it out or you fail. Mm-hmm. And so we figured we would move into the retail space because it was still going to be able to operate in some sense. And we pivoted to do market in a box. And the idea is that we'll send, you know, the market to your doorstep. We'll curate a box for you around themes present right now, you know, working from home, schools canceled, self-care. And we would, you know, wholesale our vendor's product and sell it to the customers, with the idea being that, you know, support local was going to be really big and you could support a few shops in one purchase. And a lot of our vendors and retailers are not really equipped to drive the traffic that they would need to their website to have the success that, you know, would carry them through this. And so we just took on the risk of buying their product, really in hopes that people would shop local and that would, you know, remain of some importance to consumers.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And Mike, can you hear us okay?
Yeah, I can hear you guys. I think, you know, in business right now, everyone's pivoting, Jordan, and it sounds like you've done a great job. You saw some of the writing on the wall and you mm-hmm. try to get ahead of it. And I heard you say self-care, and I think, you know, we're talking about self-employment, but in your opinion, after that week of freak out, what kind of self-care have you reminded yourself during this time, you know, that you're working through? Just curious.
Yeah, I think self-care is different for everybody. And when you think about it, it's, you know, it's taking a bath or, you know, time for yourself. But I'll be honest, the best thing that I can do for myself is to continue to work.
I'm like that too.
Right. You know, I was talking to somebody else the other day. I kind of identify with being a productive person. And I feel like the world is telling us right now that why is that the way to be? But I'm working from home now, have an office, about 3 minutes from the house. Melissa and I both live in Oakhurst and,
Nice.
Yeah. So, you know, one of our points of contact is being in the neighborhood. But I've moved everything home. I'm working from the house now. And so to be honest, when I'm not feeling very productive with the business, I can do some laundry or the dishes, or to be honest with you, get out in the garden and just dig in some dirt for a little while.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of where I'm at, and who knows if it's really healthy, but it's working right now.
day by day.
Day by day. I think that's really the critical piece is, you know, just literally day by day.
I love it that you're supporting small business. You are a small business, but yet you support small business.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know, I mean, really, you're probably also preparing for once you're able to go back to doing, you know, I don't mean business as usual, but I do mean, you know, post COVID, mm-hmm. it seems like you would be, the work that you're doing would put you in a great position to relaunch, if you will, these gatherings, these pop shops.
Yeah. I mean, one of the worst things that I think, you know, what that we could do with our events is kind of allow ourselves to be forgotten. So, you know, for example, we run two monthly events. We run Front Porch Sundays over at Sycamore Brewing.
That's the one I've heard of most. And
yeah,
you know, when I saw that you're kind enough to join us, that I thought, okay, now I know who's behind the Sunday events. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it takes a team. There's a few of us that make it happen, but we run Front Porch Sundays, which is first Sunday. It's about 70 vendors in total. And, you know, we get thousands of people out on a Sunday. And then we also run Neville's Alley Night Market, which it's its little sister market, which it's just down the street at the Design Center. I think the worst thing that we could do is let ourselves be forgotten. You have to continue that momentum. So right now what we're doing is simply saying to people, like, we cannot wait to be back with you. We cannot wait to hug you. I mean, do I think we'll be hugging in 2 months? Maybe not hugging, but my hope is that we can get back to some semblance of what we do at our core soon-ish.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and I love the idea that you're really staying in front of your clients, your customers, reminding them of you and the relationship that you have with them and vice versa.
Yeah.
I'm an optimist, and I feel like we'll be, in a much better position by mid to late summer, with respect to, you know, operating businesses, obviously taking necessary precautions, but yet still being able to function as a business in the way that we're most used to pre-COVID.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
We're kind of, I was reading about California, and they're talking about, you know, what it's going to look like after this, and they're thinking they're going to get back to, you know, out, or they're going to get out of shelter in place here in the next few months. And one thing that was mentioned was that, you know, events aren't going to be able to happen. That tore me up. I was, I took some time to be sad and frustrated, but then I started thinking about, you know, what are our options? And I've got a few ideas in place. Farmers markets are still operating, so I think that there's some opportunity there and some innovation there that we can pull from farmers markets that we're gonna come back, but maybe not, you know, as we were.
Yeah. And there are certain challenges that we're experiencing now dealing with the COVID event as to how we do business. We'll be able to take some of those and roll them forward to really be better as an organization, as a company, as an entrepreneur, right?
Absolutely.
Not to say that we're going to necessarily always be in a position of social distancing, but the virtual overlay, there are absolutely benefits, and there are blessings that we can kind of pull from this experience and apply them for future adjustments, if you will, in the way we do business. So I love the idea. I love it that you're looking at some virtual options, and you're right. Farmers markets, you know, the Mecklenburg market, we've mm-hmm. been there a few times, the King's market, they're both, I mean, people are still visiting and going and getting their produce or flowers or what have you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good.
Jordan, I'm curious, what's probably one thing you'd say right now that you're really enjoying about what you're doing? What's one thing that you're kind of like, going back to the why and why you're doing what you're doing, what's a strong enough why to get you up every day and keeps you going?
Well, I'll be honest, I get up pretty late. I think, you know, I'm taking time to just do what I need to do personally, which, to be honest, is sleeping in a bit. But
right.
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
Hey, I don't have to drive to the office. I don't, it is what it is. It's
sure.
But yep. we do consulting, small business consulting for our retailers. And for the past 2 years, it's been a lot of, this is what you need to do. This is how it works. This is how the industry flows. And, you know, it's kind of nice to get back in it ourselves and be able to implement some of those things that we've been telling other businesses about. And I'm getting to experience, you know, what they've been experiencing. And that's been really cool. And I've been taking a lot of notes, and I've been actually doing a lot of webinars and, you know, going through a lot of resources. And I actually feel like I'm going to come back into the consulting piece of what we do even stronger. We actually just relaunched the consulting side. We're working with about four retailers right now. And,
nice.
We, you know, now it's less about taking what the world has told us is how it works. And now I can say we've experienced it, been there. It does work because it worked for us. And that's been a really enjoyable piece of this. Like I sat through a webinar all weekend on social media marketing. It was very boring, but I feel better equipped to tell people how to, you know, that it is important that you do have to have some semblance of social media marketing, and this is why. And so, yeah, right. That's kind of where I've been on that.
Absolutely. And you know what? That's really good. You mentioned early on in this conversation that the first week you might have been curled up in a ball, but it sounds like you're really, really being proactive. You're trying to sharpen the saw. You're doing what you need to do to come out of this stronger and better.
Yeah. Yeah.
That says a lot about you as an entrepreneur.
That's all we can do right now. I mean, and you know, people need to do what's right for them. If you want to stay curled in that ball and that feels right to you, I'm all for it. And I support it, but I say when we get out of this, you got to make sure that having been curled up in a ball for a little bit was, you know, beneficial to you. You know, if you needed to hunker down, that's awesome. And you weathered it, great. Sure. But for me, it's diving into more stuff, and, you know, my house is impeccable. My garden is looking shipshape. And yeah.
That's great. And so really, if you consider where your model was in advance of this, where you don't have a bricks and mortar, this is all the, you know, all the more reason why maybe a lot of people, business owners, are going to rethink that idea. I'm not saying we would necessarily entirely get rid of bricks and mortar. But I think given the events, the fact that you didn't have one, which your whole operation involved you doing, you know, facilitating these events for others on outside sites. I think we'll see a bit of a movement for organizations and companies to move to less bricks and mortar, less physical offices. What do you think about that?
I agree. I think there's a sense of success in brick and mortar. And I think a lot of the vendors that we work with on the scale that we do. So a lot of them work by themselves right now. In our heads, having four walls is the epitome of success. I've been there. I had a brick and mortar for, you know, Elsa Fine went from being pop-ups. It was a brick and mortar for about 2 years. And I say if you can do the volume, if you can push the product, awesome. And dive in, you know, find the perfect space and settle into a space, because, you know, those four walls, it does help sell product, and it there is, you know, it's something that we don't get that success right now. We don't get to pick up on the foot traffic. We don't get to, You know, we don't have a space that's beautiful that we can take pictures of and grab content from for our social media. But, you know, you have to have money in the bank, like, to really carry you over. And, you know, do I think we're going to have another pandemic like this in our lifetime? Maybe not, but things are going to happen where, you know, you have to consider if having this very expensive space over you is going to be worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. Well said. So any other advice that you might offer to maybe similar folks, such as the clients that you serve? I mean, how can people learn more about you and what you're consulting and what you do for retailers?
I think this is kind of the right time to maybe, if you're ready and willing to take a step back and say, instead of working in my business, I'm going to work on it. You know, we get so dragged down in the day-to-day happenings. You know, for example, I have some orders to ship out today and it takes a while to get those orders done. But I also promised myself that I would take this time to write an employee handbook. And that hasn't happened. And so, you know, really take a step back and say, we have this inordinate amount of time to use, and how does it make sense for you to use it? And so I think that's what a lot of our consulting clients are doing right now. They're actually taking this time to relaunch or rebrand or say, you know, I've not been content with my sales. How do I grow them with a plan as opposed to just, you know, grabbing at everything we can possibly get. And I think a lot of businesses are doing that right now, and we're here to help them.
That's great. And what's the website for you? What's the website?
The website is Esther and Elsa Retail. That's for, you know, consulting and learning about our events and what we do. And then Shop Front Porch Sundays is where you can buy a market in a box. And we're about to come out with some new ones for Mother's Day. Cause dang, moms deserve a lot right now. Like, they're doing every job,
so
more
true.
Jobs than
wow.
I am.
So true.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
So we're just, the idea is that, even if you can't be with mom right now, you can send her a little box of love. And we'll, you know, add in a note for you and make it special. And, you know, we really zhuzh up these boxes. They're way too pretty for something that gets shipped door to door, but, we're having fun with it. So.
Wow. I'm definitely going to look into that. Yeah. I got several moms I need to take care of.
All right. I appreciate it.
Jordan, are you on social?
Yeah, we just hit 12,000 followers last night on Front Porch Sundays.
Wow. See, that social media class is already paying off for you.
Let me tell you. I have a social media manager and she's taking a bit of a break. And so we, you know, it's definitely a joint project there, but that's Front Porch Sundays. Nebel's Alley Night Market has, you know, all the social handles. It's Nebel's Alley. For Esther and Elsa, it's Esther and Elsa. And then I'm Jordan's Grid on Instagram.
Awesome. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us, Jordan. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Good luck with everything. Are you both in real estate?
We are. This is our Community Talk podcast. The reality is so much of what creates community has to do with the people, you know, the entrepreneurs, the teachers, the, you know, anybody that is contributing to the Charlotte overall community. And you're obviously a part of that. So that's why it's so relevant to have you here on the show. And the reality is that overlay connects to real estate directly, in our opinion.
It does. Have you guys had to pivot at all? Are you doing virtual showings or?
We're absolutely pivoting, no question. You know, Mike and I are, you know, I like to, we kind of get ahead of things and we just sort of take it and roll with it and do the best we can. We were already fairly well set up for virtual. Mm-hmm. You know, we have all of the tools and the photographers that do produce video and 3D models. You know, we're able to show physically show vacant property, or our listings that are vacant are able to be shown. We're doing a lot of Zoom consultations with buyers and sellers. Mm-hmm. So we're, you know, Mike, you have anything else you want to add there?
Yeah, I mean, we've been using virtual tour technology for some time, so that's a piece of this. We also have some addendums in place that allow people to, because the order says we can actually, once you're under contract, you have a vested interest, you can do a walkthrough. So we've been pivoting and have some, you know, some custom ideas where we can let folks in for, you know, maybe a week of time, or for, you know, a nominal amount, just to get in the door, and then be able to move forward. So in other counties surrounding Mecklenburg County, it's somewhat business as usual. They've deemed real estate as an essential service. So it's really just Mecklenburg County due to density. I think across the board, no open houses, but that's probably for the better. We don't want swarms of people.
Yeah.
Also, given the circumstances.
So we're being very, you know, judicious with respect to how we work. So we don't, we don't want to, you know, violate any guidelines or stay-at-home order. But yeah, we're working more virtually, certainly having more Zoom calls, FaceTime, and
that's awesome.
Really for folks, and things are still transacting. It's just different.
Yeah. My partner's a builder, a general contractor, and it really is kind of business as usual, and people are still, you know, signing contracts to do renovations and additions. I think, you know, I'm so wrapped into the small business community and a lot of the gig community as well. And so things have been pretty topsy-turvy there, but there still is this huge population where they may be working from home, but they still have their income and their lives are still moving forward. And, you know, he's as busy as ever. And
that's awesome.
I think it's good for all of us to know that there's still, you know, people operating that way, because when things
Absolutely.
Do get back to normal, to be honest,
Jordan, you hit it.
It's good for me. Yeah. Yep. It's good for me to know that there's still people out there with money who are willing to spend so
Jordan,
that when we bring markets back. Yeah.
Yeah. See, we're having conversations with folks that are asking, hey, so what's going on? You know, the assumption is that everything has stopped, but it hasn't. Now, for some, it has, by force, sadly and unfortunately, you know, due to, you know, their business not having really a way to continue. And then others, they're changing, and maybe they're not doing as much business, but they're doing some. But yeah, you're right. It is important for the small business community. And then Mike and I would certainly be classified in that group. But to say that, yeah, business is taking place, it's just, it's different.
Yeah.
It's different. Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, right now we're all very enveloped in what's happening, you know, in our own lives. And you have to be to get through this. But it is really good to know, and it's a light at the end of the tunnel, that when we are out of this, and when we, you know, when restaurants can get back to some sense of normalcy, there will be people at their door with money to spend. And I think we just need to kind of remember that, you know, people will attend Front Porch Sundays. People are still buying these market in a box. You know, I've had people come to me and say, has the support local push worn off? Like, and I mean, don't get me wrong, with any business, the initial excitement and shininess or, you know, project launch has dwindled, but people are still consistently buying. There are people with income. I think it's just finding them, and it's, you know, we've got to nurture those relationships a little bit more. But there are people who are still willing to put money into the economy and into our local economy. They're still wanting to move into new houses. They're still, you know, growing families, meaning growing the houses they live in. And we just need to know that, you know, it's going to be okay.
Yeah. This too shall pass.
Yeah. We agree with that. And Jordan Dollard, we appreciate you coming in today on the podcast. Mike Hagee with Scott Pridemore, Jordan Dollard with Esther and Elsa.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you for listening to Charlotte Community Talk, brought to you by Pridemore Properties. For more information and for more podcasts like this, check them out at pridemoreproperties.com.